Trend number two, dealing with the simplifiers. During the last three decades, as the U.S. economy grew, so did the average American's possessions. Ordinary middle-class people became used to the second home. Home theaters that were once reserved for movie moguls in Beverly Hills, enormous sport utility vehicles with DVD players for the kids, and buying anything else that struck their fancy, often on a credit card already overburdened with a big balance. By 2006, a third of all new homes were larger than 2,400 square feet, up from just 18% 20 years earlier. And that meant far more space for more stuff, since the average size of the family had decreased. But now, there's been an abrupt reversal. According to an article in The Guardian, many people are retreating from consumerism and intentionally simplifying their lives. This trend is driven by at least three factors. The first and most obvious is that the financial crisis and the associated recession frighten people. People who are frightened hold on to what they've got. That equates to far less spending on non-essential items. Another factor underpinning this new frugality is a perceived need to be so-called good custodians of our planet. Buying and throwing away products like mobile phones, iPods, and computers is not only perceived as wasteful, but as bad for the environment. And the third influence is the increased realization that buying stuff doesn't really make people any happier. It's now clear that one's life is no more meaningful or fulfilled with a plasma television screen than without one. Almost overnight, people have stopped spending in the same way we've come to expect. Even some of the wealthiest people are cutting back to buying only what is necessary. In a recent article in The Economist, Harvard Business School professor John Quelch dubbed these new consumers the simplifiers. As defined by Quelch, simplifiers share four distinctive characteristics. First, they have now come to believe that they have far more consumer goods than they really need. Second, they have become more interested in having meaningful experiences than in gaining more possessions. Experiences require no maintenance and appeal to our innate appreciation of novelty. These can include restaurants, travel, and learning experiences such as taking up golf or tennis. Third, they actually feel embarrassed and guilt-ridden about their ostentatious possessions. Where they once treated their gas-guzzling Range Rover as a symbol of status, they now perceive it as a nuisance and even a symbol of social irresponsibility. And fourth, the simplifiers no longer feel they need possessions to affirm their success. Increasingly, they have enough wealth that they don't need to flaunt it. So, they have begun to turn a deaf ear toward marketing enticements to spend more money on possessions. Today, they focus on investing in themselves via education, healthcare, or other things that might help them to have a more positive impact on society. As you might expect, the simplifiers are getting rid of their SUVs in favor of hybrids and are downsizing from mini mansions to condos. Increasingly, they are looking for products with greater aesthetic appeal and minimal maintenance. And through online auction sites like eBay and charitable sites like FreeCycle, many are either selling stuff or giving it away. This is taking place in every state and in every developed country, from New York to Texas and from Ireland to New Zealand. The Irish Times, for example, recently announced the age of conspicuous consumption is over, and there is a shift away from glitz and glam even among those who can afford it. The newspaper reports that in Ireland, the cutting edge of style lies in junk shop charm, not in high fashion stores and granite countertops for the kitchen. Meanwhile, the New Zealand Herald touts delayed gratification, earning money before you spend it, and saving for things that you want but can't afford right now. New Zealand even has a new television series devoted to rescuing people from drowning in their own possessions. The newspaper bemoaned overconsumption, lamenting the fact that people have been behaving for decades like children let loose in a candy store, going on credit to get whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted it, whether we really needed it or not. Likewise, the New York Times recently ran a comparison of two new restaurants being opened by the swanky South City Grill in New Jersey. The first, opened early in 2008, was an upscale steakhouse with opulent decor, including a chandelier. The second opening, in the wake of the economic meltdown in January 2009, replaces silk curtains with wooden shutters and brick walls. Reclaimed barnwood replaces ruby-tinted glass, and there is no chandelier. The latter's decor aims squarely at the taste of the simplifiers. In this atmosphere, where luxury seems like a dirty word, sales at Neiman Marcus have fallen 30%, while Walmart sales are up. Meanwhile, sales of yachts and diamonds are down. Showing up at a party in Manhattan wearing jewels, furs, and a $10,000 party dress is suddenly considered bad taste. America hasn't seen such a complete reversal of attitude since the Roaring Twenties gave way to the Great Depression. Then, as now, conspicuous consumption was met with disgust. Significantly, among wealthier consumers, the real shift appears to be in people's attitudes toward luxury, not in their ability to afford it. The Harrison Group, a market research firm along with American Express Publishing, recently conducted a survey among people whose discretionary household income was above $100,000. Some 83% of those surveyed say that they are still in good economic shape, despite the recession. But the percentage of those who say a few luxuries are important to have, even in tough times, suddenly slipped from 61% in June 2008 to just 50% 3 months later. Perhaps more important for the economy as a whole is the way the middle class is behaving and has behaved in the past. After binging on cheap credit, buying sub-zero refrigerators and Cadillac Escalades, those consumers are now coming to understand that they were enjoying the benefits of counterfeit wealth. They owned what they couldn't really afford. Now they're rushing en masse toward a lifestyle that they can afford. Consistent with this, an October 2008 survey by Big Research called the Consumer Intentions and Action Study found that 42% of baby boomers and 45% of Gen Xers plan to decrease their spending in the months to follow. A similar percentage of those surveyed said they were paying down debt, and a significant percentage said they were saving more. Given this important trend, the trend's editors offer these four forecasts. First, the consumer economy as we know it will have to be recalibrated in the short term based on the simplifier paradigm. This paradigm favors sustainability over growth and utility and affordability over convenience. In this environment, the consumer is much more critical and well-informed. At the same time, consumers demand more meaning and fulfillment in their lives rather than consumption for the sake of consumption. And while consumers still want products that are comfortable and satisfying, they will be less and less tolerant of a throwaway economy. Most importantly, consumers will not let themselves be defined by what they have, but rather by what they do and who they are. Second, as simplifiers emphasize quality and price, companies will adjust their marketing accordingly. Newly savvy consumers are asking hard questions. They expect to see well-made products that last and services that deliver what they promise. They will expect companies to tell them the truth and sell quality goods. As a result, companies will increasingly be competing on the basis of their guarantees and return policies. Third, despite a generational shift away from conspicuous consumption, spending on luxury items will accelerate as soon as the economy rebounds. Consumers have pulled back from overconsumption during past recessions, only to spend wildly again as soon as the economy recovered. So, it's safe to say that when middle-class consumers' fears about losing their jobs have disappeared, they will rediscover their desire for new TVs, iPods, and so on. The trends editors expect the recession to end by the third quarter of 2009. At that point, companies must be prepared to meet the pent-up demand for new goods and services, while keeping in mind the newfound emphasis on quality and value. And fourth, Increased demand for high-quality goods that last will help U.S. companies to regain some of the business lost to foreign competitors. At the moment, goods made cheaply in places like China are being designed for the landfill, not for the long haul. They are mostly cheaply made and cannot be repaired. Their lifespan is short, and they are inevitably thrown away. On the contrary, high-quality experiences and products are still American strengths. For those companies positioned to serve them, the simplifiers represent a huge opportunity.